welcome to Wildman Steve's Record Shop, a weekly podcast featuring artists talking about and performing their music in my studio or from a previously made recording. I'm your host, Wildman Steve, and this is Episode 5, featuring Reverend Freakchild. In the tradition of such holy blues reverends as Reverend Gary Davis, such is the irreverent Reverend Freakchild. The Reverend primarily performs solo acoustic these days, and sometimes as a duo with the Minister of Bass. The Reverend has also recently recorded with some amazing musicians, Chris Parker, Hugh Poole, Jay Collins, Mark Caron, and G Love on the album Dial It In. He has played in many bands in the past, including the psychedelic jam band Banana Fish and the Cosmic All-Stars touring internationally. The Reverend has also served as a member and featured soloist of the Metro Mass Gospel Choir, performing at such venues as Carnegie Hall, Avery Fisher Hall, and the Town Hall Theater. The Rev's music has been featured in many TV programs and commercials, and also national radio advertising campaigns. He grew up in Hawaii, holds a degree in philosophy and religion from Northeastern University in Boston, and now currently resides in Colorado, pursuing a Master of Divinity degree at Naropa University. He continues to perform and preach, proclaiming, "Music is my religion. Through song, I seek transcendence." His latest album is Road Dog Dharma, which includes live performances from radio stations across the country, including Wildman Steve Radio. Hey, Rev, welcome to the record shop. Thanks for coming in, man.
Thanks for having me, man. It's great to see you. Great to be here. I'm happy to be on the new record shop podcast.
Yeah, man. Awesome. Hey, you know, we move on and have fun. That's where
man, this is the wave of the future, man.
It truly
is. Wave of the future.
Wave of the future. Well, speaking of wave of the future, man, you have had quite a career. No question about it. I have the benefit of knowing you in the past,
yes,
having you in the studio several times.
This has got to be like the fifth or sixth time I've been
I
here.
Think it is fifth,
for having
I think
me.
That's it
great. Is. It's always great coming.
But, and this is the thing. You are always a really fun guy to have in because, you know, I never know what you're going to say next.
I don't know what I'm going to say next.
Which is beautiful.
You know? Who knows, you know?
But, you know, for the sake of all the millions of folks that are yes, going to download this podcast, many have not ever heard of you.
Yes.
And so let's give a little background.
Sure.
I was actually stunned and to find that you were a member of an early phase of Soul Coughing.
Yes. I was just thinking about that this morning. My sister's actually going to be on tour with Michael Doty there this fall for the 25th anniversary tour. If you're a fan of the Soul Coughing, I was in the early incarnation with, and you can't make this up, the bass player was Buddy Booker and the drummer was Dickie Dworkin. I mean, this was back in the days of, you know, Michael Doty, he calls himself M. Doty now. You know, he was a student at Eugene Lang with my sister. And my sister was an actress and he was a, you know, budding musician and poet and everything. And if you're a fan of the band, the first album, the Ruby Broom Broom, whatever it is, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's my sister on the last track, singing the Lemon Tree song.
Unbelievable.
And she was, I have to say, she's very humble about it, but she was very instrumental, I think, in, you know, grounding up the groupies and getting people to the shows and really, you know, like, I think she really helped him get a record deal. Like, people were like, wow, people are actually coming out to your shows. Cool, you know? And it's like my sister was sort of, and, you know, not to say anything bad about M. Doty, but, you know, he kind of, you know, I'm protective of my sister, let me tell you that, you know? So there was some water under the bridge, but hopefully they have a good tour this fall, and maybe I'll open up for them in Colorado when I'm back there, but... I went back to Colorado, or back went to Colorado. I'm making the most of my midlife crisis. I'm studying Buddhism there, Tibetan Buddhism, at a little school called Naropa University, getting a Master of Divinity. So I'm going to legitimize the Reverend Freakchild. But, you know, back in the day, I was always into the blues. And I remember walking down the street with old Michael Doty. And, you know, the other thing is that Michael Doty's father is a colonel in the Army. And he's a West Pointer, and so is my dad.
Wow.
So I think my sister and him had that connection of being military brats.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. They're still brats, but, you know. I could say that. That's my sister. I love her, you know. Anyway, so I'm walking down the street with with Doty back in the day. And I mean, this is when the East Village was dangerous to walk around in, you know. Mm-hmm. And this is the early 90s before, you know, anything. He was working at the knitting factory as the doorman, you know, and he let me into free shows. I remember I went and saw Charles Gayle, who's this amazing saxophone player, you know, and he lives in Europe now, plays actually with one of my bass player friends. But anyway, we're walking down the street and we were talking about doing some covers because I had played a couple of shows with him. And he said, "Man, well, you know, I'm thinking about doing some covers just to, you know, do so." And I said, "Well, yeah, what about, I'm thinking about doing Albert King's, you know, that old Peppermint Harris song called As the Years Go Passing By." And he was like, "I'm thinking about maybe doing more like a New York Dolls song." So it's like, literally, that was where I realized, like, oh, we're totally different directions, you know. But I feel like I kind of like won that argument because David Johansen went back and did a whole blues album years later. So I was like, hey, man, all comes back to the blues, you know, like Willie Dixon says, you know, the blues is the root and everything else is the fruit, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, all the blues stuff, my dad turned me on to the blues. My mom was a classical pianist, and she also, you know, made me and my sister memorize passages from the Bible, you know, 23rd Psalm and 1 Corinthians, and just... She read to us out of the Bible every night. That was just what she did. You know, they came from a religious family. It wasn't like they were crazy religious zealots. It's just what we did as entertainment kind of a thing, you know. And, you know, between that and that weekend that took a little too much LSD and I thought I was Jesus, you know. It was like, wait a second. I don't want that job, dude. That's a lot of responsibility. You know, I was like, maybe I'll do a little Buddhism, you know. Put a little cool Buddhist ice cubes, my hot Christianity beverage, you know. So that seems to be working for me, but the blues, you know, is always you listen to Muddy Waters in those early Alan Lomax recordings, where Alan Lomax says, "Where'd you get the idea for that tune?" He said, "Well, I was walking by church one day and I put a little minor on that, and then I made my own song." You know, it's like he says, "If you want to know about the blues, you got to get to church."
That's true.
So when I was living in New York, I started to sing in this huge choir. It was a 130 person choir called the Metro Mass Gospel Choir. And it turned out to be a 9/11, post 9/11 healing thing. You know, all races, colors, creeds. We were doing Apollo Theater. We were doing Avery Fisher Hall. We were doing the, what else we do? The Town Hall. You know, a whole bunch of huge halls, you know. And I got to be a soloist in that and did this tune called Still Have Joy. And it was amazing just being, you know, it's amazing going and seeing and hearing a choir like that.
Sure.
But it's another thing being inside of it.
Yeah.
I was like, the altos and the sopranos, you know, 130 people or 129 people around me. And the choir director would sometimes be like, Fordham, which is my, you know, my Sunday name, as the British say, my given name by my mama. He'd be like, "Fordham, you got to pay attention. You're like, you're in the choir." I'm like, "Oh, right. Yeah. What were we singing?" You know? So that was an amazing thing. And at the same time, I was doing this, gig at this place called Tobacco Road. I mean, this is right after 9/11, about a decade after 9/11, I was in New York. And I was doing this gig at Tobacco Road, which was this like really kind of crazy hippie hangout right around the corner from the Port Authority bus station in New York City. And people, you know, like Robert Randolph and Bernie Worrell and all kinds of different, you know, sort of hippie, you know, fringe people, jam band stuff was coming through there. But on Sundays at 4:20, I had the Reverend Freak Child show. And that's when, I mean, I had all those old blues tunes and spirituals that were talking about, you know, different things. And where do I can't throw those into, I was playing in a blues band, I was playing a jam band, you know. Where do I put the, you know, it's not appropriate for a wedding gig, you know, to be like talking about in my time of dying, you know, see that my grave is kept clean. Like, I guess I could do funerals, which I've done a couple, you know, because I know all these old tunes, right? So I found this place that was very open to it, you know, and I just sit on my amp and play these old blues and spirituals, and it became a thing. I mean, it also was, I was the lead into the Grateful Dead night. They had, on Sunday nights, they had Grateful Dead night, so it was perfect. I was doing all these tunes, like Death Don't Have No Mercy, which, you know, Yorma and Hot Tuna did, but it's an old Reverend Gary Davis tune, and I was doing sort of the original kind of version of that, or my version, interpreted, you know, original version. Mm-hmm. And so people really dug it, you know. I made a lot of friends. Still have friends, you know. Most of them moved out to West Coast, and then they moved like up to Oregon. You know, they became professional hippies. You know, like off the grid. Yeah. You know, so so that's a bit of my history there. You know, I was born in West Point, New York. Like I said before, my dad was a West Pointer. He was actually teaching economics there, and he likes to say he took two all paid expense vacations to Southeast Asia. You know, from the United States government. He did two tours of duty in Vietnam, and then I was born after that, and then we moved to Hawaii when I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. So I thought going to school barefoot was what people did. you know?
Yeah.
And then when I was nine, you know, you tend to follow those people that are clothing and feeding you, you know? So I followed my parents back to the East Coast. My dad got a job in New York City, and it snowed, and I got cold, and I was like, what is going on? I have to wear shoes to school, you know? So I dealt with the East Coast there for a while, and I went to Boston, and I got a degree in philosophy. I like to say I got my BS in BS. Ba-dum-ching, hey, and now, you know, and then I actually, you know, for all the people suffering under addiction out there, I got wrapped up in the lifestyle of the rock and roll thing, you know. It wasn't too hard doing that Tobacco Road gig where that was like, you know, you go into the green room and it was just like, oh, what's on the table? You know, it's like, oh, it's free? Okay, cool, I'll try that, you know. So, and then you're playing those gigs where they're like, well, we're going to pay you in beer. And I'm like, I'm going to get paid very well this evening, you know? So that kind of caught up with me, and I had to get sober. And I was back in New York, and I sobered up. And, you know, just sort of the word of the wise, if anybody's out there, you know, in the throes of addictions, you know, it's not like you're a bad person trying to get good. You're a sick person trying to get well. It's
right.
Like you wouldn't get
right.
mad at somebody that has cancer.
Sure.
And I'm not mad at the drug or the drink. It's just like my relationship to it.
Right.
Like, I could be a shopaholic or a sexaholic.
Sure.
It's the way that I interact with the thing. And I've learned a lot of that sort of in my being now from doing meditation and doing meditation retreats where we're meditating 9.5 hours, you know, a day for 2 weeks. And you're like, oh, this is not about the drug on the table. It's about how I wanted to do the drug on the table. You know, it's like the old joke. I was just telling somebody here in town. I said, you know, if I could drink in moderation, I'd do it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, wait a second. You know, people would be like, dude, it's like 8 a.m. You're getting stoned. I'm like, yeah, what's the problem? You know, I'm not going to be one of those dirty alcoholics. They get drunk in the morning. And then I'd start drinking at night, you know, when the sun went down. And then I'd end up, you know, running around the streets in New York naked thinking I was Lord Shiva. It was like, dude, it might be time to look at that, you know. So I sobered up and I started working at the Ronald McDonald House in New York, raising money and planning events for cancer kids, and that was a joy, you know, to help out some of these kids be kids for a minute, you know.
So when did you get into the addiction of songwriting?
Yes, well, this is I can't. That's a healthy addiction, man. You know, that's a good
that's
thing.
That's right.
You know, like I said, my mom tried to turn me into a classical pianist, and my dad turned me onto the blues. So, you know, a lot of times you go back and you listen to those blues tunes, and they make sense, you know, like, oh, wow, this is what's going on. Like, my girlfriend betrayed me, and there it is. Wow, you know, don't let the same woman misuse you twice, you know. Things like that, you know, just age-old kind of truisms, you know, and then the other side of that would be, you know, wow, somebody passed away. You know, it's like, the, see, that my grave is kept clean, the old Blind Lemon Jefferson tune, you know. But sometimes there was an emotion or a story that I didn't find in a song. And I had kind of had to write my own song. And I, you know, I thank you for asking that question, man, because the songwriting is keeps going. And I found my songwriting informed by the blues and American music. And American is amazing. You know, it's like, wow, you got all these, you know, songs that you could take everything from the African Americans and bring them over here, but you couldn't take the songs out of their heads.
Right.
Then you got the Native Americans, hi, four on the floor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got all these fiddle tunes coming down through the Appalachia. I mean, it's just amazing melting pot, not only
of
cultures, but musical stuff. I mean,
without
it's right in our backyard, so we are always are like, well, yeah, that's just those guys playing down at the bar. It's like, yeah, but that's amazing, like, influences and stuff mixing. So, anyway, studying on that and then writing some songs that would express what I'm feeling. Lately, I've been studying a lot of Dharmic stuff, you know, Buddhist teachings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's naturally mixed, you know. And maybe I'll play this tune called All I Got Is Now, which is a tune about the not to get too preachy, but I don't know what you thought having the Reverend Freakchild here. You're going to give me... You know, anyway, it's about the four thoughts that turn one's mind towards the Dharma. And the first is precious human existence. I mean, we're lucky to be born in this human form. You know, we can contemplate the Dharma and we can make decisions and we don't have to be ruled by our emotions and our intellect, although sometimes we are. But here we are in this karmic situation. Anyway, then the second is impermanence, you know, that we're all going to die and things change and this too shall pass, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's karma and samsara, but those are other, you know, karma means action, samsara is sort of like, you know, what we're caught in here, the delusions.
Right.
So, you know, I got this sort of blues tune, and then I put those verses in like that, and then I took this old phrase about, you know, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, today is a gift, that's why they call it the present. Ba-dum-ching. Well, maybe we'll do one of those.
Yeah,
we
let's do
it.
All right.
Now you tripping all night long. I'm trying to figure out, yeah, what might go wrong. Waking up and my mind's a mess. That's cause I keep forgetting life's a preciousness, yeah. Cause yesterday's a history, tomorrow's our mystery. All I got is now, but I keep forgetting that somehow. Well, let's all face it, yeah, we all gonna die. Ain't nobody come back from that, except maybe old Jesus on high, yeah. Old precious impermanence, yeah. Got an attitude of gratitude, yeah. Just gotta live my life here and stop asking why, yeah. Cause yesterday's a history, tomorrow's our mystery. All I got is now, but I keep forgetting that somehow. Well, get what you want, yeah. That ain't real happiness. Seeking God in yourself, that's just a kind of emptiness, yeah. But if you can want, just what you get, that's what they say is the best thing yet, yeah. But yesterday's a history, tomorrow's our mystery. All I got is now, yeah, but I keep forgetting that somehow. Well, just remember, whatever you may do, good, bad, or beautiful, I'm gonna come back on you. So you find yourself real hellish place, better appeal to the better angels of your being and move on through that space, yeah, cause yesterday's a history, tomorrow's our mystery. Yeah, I say, yesterday's a history, tomorrow's our mystery. Somehow, yeah. Everything is now.
Oh yeah, that Ooh. Is a classic, no doubt about it.
Yeah, thanks, man. Just warming up here. Hey,
a big hit, that's for sure. That is, I think, one of your more memorable songs.
Thanks. Yeah, that's I guess if people get over the reverence stigma, that might have been a real hit. Wait, what is he? He's not Christian rock? Then where do we put him? Buddhist rock? There's no category for that. Dharma? He's a Dharma rock and roller.
Well, speaking of Dharma, your latest in a series of superb albums is called Road Dog Dharma. And
And it features actually... a clip of us talking.
It does.
At one point. There was a great intro to the Dial It In tune that is the title track
off the previous
album, which is now available in the vinyl format.
Wow.
Very nice. And it was actually a true vinyl project. Not to take anything away from people printing up vinyl, but this one was recorded on 2-inch, then mixed down to 1-inch, and then printed up as vinyl. In the interim, we took some digital copies and spread them around the last tour. But it's a really beautiful project. Chris Parker, who played drums, with Bob Dylan, does all the artwork, and he plays drums on it. We recorded at Hugh Poole's place in New York City, in Brooklyn. All kinds of different players on there. We got Mark Caron from Rat Dog.
Nice.
We got G Love, my old friend, Garrett. He's he was another guy that was, we used to call ourselves Beck's Army back in the day, with Soul Coffin and G Love and Special Sauce and the stuff I was doing. It was like, oh, yeah. White boys trying to get in on the hip hop thing a little bit. That was back when, different times back then. But anyway, yeah, the vinyl is now available at floatingrecords.com. Nice. That's floatingrecords.com.
Nice. And this is this Road Dog Dharma is very interesting album.
Thanks.
Because all the All the performances are live.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing some cool covers.
Thanks, man.
White Freightliner to get that segues into Tomorrow Never Knows.
Right.
Now, that's just ridiculous. ridiculously good.
I thought nobody's made this connection before. You know, it's like the Towns song, you know, talks about the bad news from Houston, all my friends are dying, but I changed it to all my family's dying because I got tons of family down there and people are dying. And I thought, and these are all road songs. You know, I travel around, do a lot of radio shows, so I love them. And I had all these stacks of CDs, one of which was with you. And you're like, hey, man, here's a CD of the interview we did. And I said, great, what do I do with this? You know, like, oh, we'll make an album out of it. So I got all these live recordings from on airs, and we did some studio stuff in there, but they're all travel songs. So I thought, what's the ultimate traveling is traveling on to the next life, isn't it not? Yeah. And that's what Tomorrow Never Knows. True. And for me, as a Tibetan Buddhism, student of Tibetan Buddhism, and you got the all-seeing eyes I see over there of the Buddha, you know, yes, in the window. That's very
absolutely
beautiful. That's, you know, that's John Lennon stealing from Timothy Leary, stealing from the Tibetan Book of the Dead. You know, it's like, okay, every poet is a thief, but I see where you're getting that stuff, man, you know. So it's a heavy-duty imagery about, you know, being open to our being and our journey, whatever that may be, you know.
Yep.
Yeah. So,
but it's a fun album because you got a lot of different DJs talking on here, and in little snippets of interviews and following, you know, and then those are followed by, you know, some of your songs and and just a wild array of covers. Jesus Just Left Chicago, right. Keep On Truckin', Rollin' and Tumblin', You Gotta Move, some really fun stuff on
Thanks,
there.
Thanks, man. Yeah, there's a
and your performances are always fun.
Thanks,
I mean, that's all there is to it. But we were talking about Dial It In.
Oh, yes. So that was the previous album with a whole bunch of people, you know, talking about all of my friends, Beck's Army back in the day. But, you know, Garrett, we played back the tapes, and Hugh said, man, this sounds like a G-Love and Special Sauce song. And I said, man, I haven't talked to Garrett for like 20 years, but I can call him up. And he was so gracious. He's like, yo, Freak Child, man, I haven't heard from you in a minute. You know, I was like, all right, man, hey, how's it going? And he was like, yeah, sure, man, I'll record, you know, put some harmonica on your album, man. He like, I met my drummer opening up for you back in the day. And I was like, hey, great, you know. And actually, his son engineered a little session, and we sent him some. That was the only, that and Mark Caron were the only digital overdubs we did.
Uh-huh.
So we had, because they, Mark Caron was on the West Coast,
right,
in San Francisco, and Garrett was in Boston. So I was
right,
like, you know, I'm not going to get in a car and drive these tapes. But that's what I would have had to do in 1972. Drive them all the way to the West Coast, you know,
that's
or the
right,
East Coast. So I said, hey, man, we'll send you some digital files, and then we just float those in. So those are, in true honesty, rigorously honest, those are the two overdubs that were digital, but everything else is analog on there.
Well, and those two songs, okay, we're talking about Hippie Blues, Man
yes,
Blues.
Yes, right.
Which has a story behind it,
oh, God, yeah,
which we'll get to
painful
in a moment. But and Dial It In.
Yes.
And both of these songs are just, they're like, you know,
thanks,
like that last one you played, they are hits.
Thanks,
I mean,
man,
that's where it's at. They're really good, memorable songs that have, you know, stories behind them. There's substance to the lyrics.
That is true, and I feel like it's just naturally happening. I actually spoke with one of my meditation teachers, this guy Robert Spellman, who's an electronic musician, and he's really a painter, wonderful painter, and he has this sick sense of humor. And he studied with Chagim Trungpa, who's the founder of this school I go to now, Naropa. And Chagim Trungpa, for those people who don't know, he's kind of the bad boy of Buddhism. I mean, he was this enlightened master, you know. And, you know, he was a smoker and a drinker and a womanizer. It's like, you know, back in the 70s, it was just a time. You know, it wasn't like about the Me Too movement. It was just like everybody's having free love and free drugs. And, hey, why not? You know, it's like a different time back then. But anyway, this fellow Spellman studied with him. And I thought, maybe I have hope to be, you know, or realize enlightenment at some point, because this guy has got such a sick sense of humor. He's making me look PG. You know, he was like R-rated. I was like, wow, if this guy can be on the path, maybe I got some hope. You know, it's like I don't have to be a, you know, sort of like I got nothing wrong with JC and the Boy. Jesus Christ, man, he's got a lot of great teachings in there. Love your enemies and everything, but, you know, it tends to, the culture here is like either Jesus or jail. It's like you got to be either holier than thou or you're not allowed in the church. It's like, dude, Jesus came back and hung out with the tax collectors and the prostitutes. Did you read your Bible? You know, it's right in there. It's in black and white. You know, and Trump didn't write the thing. He just signed them or whatever, right. Apparently. I was like, what is he doing signing Bibles? Not to get off on that. I'm not supposed to say that name. My mom
says.
That
was here. That
was that happened here? Wow.
That was here. About 15 miles down the road.
I'm not supposed to say that the name. We're supposed to say 45, and my mom doesn't let us say that name. But because there's going to be a 46. No worries. You know, hey.
I call him Dolt 45.
The malt moron. No, I mean, he's doing what he can, man. The pendulum swings, and I don't get me into that. I mean, as a philosopher, I see that the polemic argument is where you have two sides to an argument, and what happens with our American politics, because we have this two-party system, is that I prove you wrong, therefore I'm right. And you're like, wait, no, that's right. Not – that doesn't happen. I need to prove my argument right.
Correct.
For the benefit of all sentient beings, or benefit at least the Americans. We've gotten so nationalist. So anyway, that's a whole different conversation. But, you know, I try not to get political because the leaders come and go, you know. It's like...
Well, that's true. And you know, when it comes to politics, it's something that, you know, you just, you know, you're better off religion and politics, you know.
Right. And I'm already on the religion thing. It's already divisive enough.
You already got
Let's
one
not
thing
bring
going.
The politics. Yeah, it's already enough. Oh, my God. Are we going to talk about religion and politics now? No. So, no, I try to, I mean, I just have that, all that stuff. No joke. I mean, I had all that stuff in my head. And when I took a bunch of LSD, I mean, it just sort of played out like, oh, my God, wait a second. Woo, you know, and, you know, now that I've gotten sober, it's religion is great. You know, they say, you know, in the program, like, religion is for those that don't want to go to hell, and spirituality is for those of us who have already gone through hell.
Yeah,
you know, it's like,
bingo.
Got to have a connection, whether it's to nature or to some religion or to, you know, a practice of meditation or praying. Mm-hmm. Hey, it's all good, man, as long as it, you know, nurtures your soul, and I, or lack thereof, as a Buddhist, your non-soul or whatever you want to call it, and it makes you feel good. It's like food. It's like if you're cooking food and it's keeping you healthy and you're enjoying it, that's great. If you have a spirituality and you're just talking about it, it's like reading the menu, man.
That's
you got to go out there and sort of practice that stuff. So
that's
for me, it's like, oh, right, okay, I can talk all about, you know, love and kindness and sympathetic joy and equanimity, but if I put it into action, that's the proof in the pudding. You
and
know?
That's kind of what Dial It In is all about. Right?
Yeah, is right. You know, that was another one where it was naturally, I was just reading about these eight mundane concerns where, you know, these limited things like loss and gain and pleasure and pain. And so you can never remember them. That's why I put them into a song, you know. But these things that are, you know, dualistic, like we were talking about, and then sort of letting those go and abiding or trying to cultivate more things like loving kindness and compassion that are boundless. You know, it's like that never ends, where you can help somebody out. And I'm not any great saint or anything. I'm working on this, you know, but I feel like you're saying, like, when I write about it, it lends some depth to the tune, but I can put it into verse, you know, and remember it for myself.
Right.
And if that helps somebody else, that's great too. And then, you know, so that was the dial it in tune, you know, which actually is featured on the – I probably do a better introduction to that tune on the Road Dog Dharma talking to you last time here. Maybe you can play that, you know, as the interview within the interview, the Misal Abim, you know, or whatever. But then the other tune – and that featured a bunch of great players, including my old friend Garrett Dutton, G Love. But the other tune you were talking about, Hippie Blues Man Blues, features Mark Carent, which, for those of you who don't know, he played in a band called Rat Dog, which was fronted by Bob Weir of Grateful Dead fame. Mm-hmm. And they were a much more bluesy project. It was right after Garcia died. And, you know, you watch some of this stuff. Maybe Bobby's working out some – he's got the blues, man. His best friend, his older brother kind of type, you know, inspirational, amazing dude, just shuffled off the mortal coil. But he got a great band together. And they toured around, I think, for probably about a decade or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And so –
quite a while.
Yeah, Mark Caron was much more into the blues, so I approached him, and I said, hey, man, I got this. I actually approached him. I was at Terrapin Crossroads in San Francisco up in Marin County, Phil Lesh's place, and Mark Caron's playing with Phil Lesh just in the backyard, and it's so casual out there. I just went up to him and said, hey, man, you know, you don't know me from Adam, and we just started talking, and I said, you're really the hippie blues man, you know. On Mark's album, he has Delaney from Delaney and Bonnie sing with him doing Love in Vain, which was actually the last technical recording I think he did before he passed away. So I was like, man, and there's something about right around, he takes a solo right about 4:20 and it really starts to sparkle. It's pretty, it's pretty weird.
Gee, I wonder why.
I don't know. So he put some real great bluesy kind of hippie guitar on there, uh-huh. and it just worked really great. And so much so that we've been, you know, and I don't know, this is like a joke, like how long does it take two hippies to get together on a project? Like, we've been trading phone calls and emails and finally talked when I was in Virginia Beach. And he's like, dude, it's been like almost a year since we started talking about this. I was like, it has? Wait, what day is it? You know? So we're going to try to put a blues album together. Maybe some stuff that the Grateful Dead did, you know, blues tunes, you know, Little Red Rooster and some of the stuff that Pigpen, you know, uh-huh. used to do. Maybe a couple tunes like that and maybe some other things that we like. And I was actually just, we were talking about Captain Beefheart's, you know, Safest Milk album. Rye Cooter's on that, very influenced. Yep. by the blues, but yeah. sort of psychedelic and you know, taking it one step further or whatever. But he does that old Robert Pete Williams tune, Grown So Ugly. I love that.
Yeah.
Beautiful stuff. So, you know, that hippie blues, real influenced by the blues, but definitely, you know, Fleetwood Mac did that. You know, Peter yeah. Green, those guys.
Sure.
Those guys
sure.
went a little off the deep end. You know, Peter Green, he kind of got like me. He was like, whoa, I got so out from the blues. I went through the psychedelic, and now I went and became religious. It was like, wow, you're really out there, dude, aren't you? So, yeah, those are some tunes. Maybe, I don't know if...
let's hear...
should we do an acoustic one, or you want to play the studio version? Or?
No, let's hear... Why don't we hear Dial It In?
You want to do the dial?
We'll and
do
then,
the dial.
And then we'll play. We'll do the
studio version
of hippie blues.
Yeah, that's worth it
because you want to hear Mark Caron.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
Let's face it.
And there's a video out there, people. That one of my you think I'm crazy, man. I talked with this guy Nat. And he doesn't want to put his real name on there. He's off the grid, but he did the video for Hippie Blues Man Blues. And that needs to come with the warning that says, not for explicit lyrics, but it's may induce an acid flashback. It's not beyond my control if you watch that Hippie Blues Man Blues video. Anyway, yeah, we'll do the, let's do a little country blues version of Dial It In here. Well, now I'm plexing in the crossroads of my mind as the highway hums with the rhythm of time. I got a troubadour sense of the coincidence cruise, remnant on the ribbon of highway blues. I'm gonna drive till I get lost and found again. Gonna turn on the radio and dial it in. I'm doing about 70, 80 miles an hour, just a feeling the sound and the road transpower. Dial it in all night long. Yeah, groove and tune with the radio on. Dial it in, I'm gonna be alright. Yeah, the darkest hour, right before the light. Dial it in. Well, now, can we go beyond what we think of as right and wrong? Like loss and gain, praise and blame, obscurity and fame, and pleasure and pain. Into the sea of equanimity with a compassion beyond identity. We're abiding in the highest of kind with the wisdom of love and them joyous signs. Dial it in all night long. Yeah, groove and tune with the radio on. Dial it in, gonna be alright. Yeah, the darkest hour right before the light. Then dial it in. Darkest hour, right before the light, dial it in. Better dial it in.
Nice.
Something like that. That's a country blues version.
That's a good version. Okay, so now, in addition to Mark Caron,
yes,
on Hippie Blues,
and
he's gonna
play it right off the vinyl.
Yeah,
bam.
Yeah, yeah.
Excellent.
Virgin vinyl has never been played before.
I played one of the test printings at my house, and I have like a loft in where I'm in Colorado, but there's a bathroom, which is the only other room, and my girlfriend's in her closet, which is off the bathroom. And I put the this actual track on. I put side two, track one, or uh-huh. What do they call it? Side one. There's no track, you know. Anyway,
right.
It's a whole different thing. It's not CDs. And I started playing it. She's like, I was in the closet. I thought that was live. It's so amazing. There's all these
it's
overtones
true.
On the analog stuff. Anyway,
it's
so
true.
He's playing it right off the vinyl, people.
So, and in addition to Mark Caron, you've got Hugh Poole playing some guitar on this.
Yeah.
As well as Robin Sylvester playing bass.
Yeah, and he was the bass player in Rat Dog for years there, too. Yeah. So mm-hmm. we got those guys. And then Chris Parker playing drums, who, geez, Chris plays with everybody. He's playing with Bob Dylan for years and Joe Cocker and John Hammond Jr. Mm-hmm. And, man, I mean, just every time I turn around, he's got another story. We went down to we were in Chattanooga last year playing the River Band Festival. And we're just sitting there, you know, backstage before the show. And he's like, you know, Freak Child, last time I was here, was like, I think it was 20 years ago. I was playing with Bob Dylan on the main stage. I was like, really? No pressure. Dude, what are you saying to me? He's like, yeah, I remember there were a lot of mosquitoes out that night, you know. And I was like, wow. He's like, Joe Walsh had in. I was like, oh, cool, man. All right. And then we started talking. I was like, man, you're playing so many great, like, with all these great people and stuff. And then he was like, oh, here's a gig that you might be impressed with, you know, being the sort of the Reverend Freak Child. He said he did the Martin Luther King Memorial opening of something down in D.C. with Stevie Wonder and the whole band. Wow. And I was like, dude, you never mentioned that before? Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. It was a great gig, though, yeah. And so it's like, so Chris did all the artwork for the album, too, and plays drums on everything, but he played drum on the drums.
He did a great job, no doubt. Well, let's check it out. Here's Hippie Blues Man Blues from the album Dial It In.
The path of a black cat. Now it seems I'm caught in a psychedelic cul-de-sac. I got a mojo hand and a gypsy woman too. Now she gave me advice, but I forgot what to do. I see there ain't no problem, only solutions, yeah. I think I'm gonna join the revolution. Got the hippie blues, man blues. Been out of the mouth of the sundown sea, swallowed all my stuff. They got my guitars and my gear, holy suitcase, it was rough. Yeah, standing there drowning in a puddle of my own tears. With my flesh and my bones just laughing at my fears. Well, there ain't no problem, only solution. I think I'm gonna join the revolution. Got the heavy blues, man blues. The blues, you got to get to church. Swim in them muddy waters and do some research. Well, it's a lonely lament, howling at the moon. But don't worry, son, you'll be feeling better soon. Ain't no problem, only solution. I think I'm gonna join the revolution. Got the heavy blue man blue. I got the heavy blue.
Complete with psychedelic ending.
Psychedelic ending. That's great stuff.
No yeah, and thanks for playing it right off the vinyl, man. We were talking while a little bit while we were listening there. about, you know, it's a painstaking process. Scott Hall up at Master Disc did a great job
amazing
on that.
Amazing mastering on it. People, I mean, don't realize it does it, sound better than the CD.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah, it is. You know, we mixed it onto, we recorded on a 2-inch, mixed it onto 1-inch, and we sent those up to Scott. You know, it's a, you got to make these mother masters and stampers and test printings and all that kind of stuff. So we went back and forth with the printing people, and they did a great job in the art. And, you know, it's just, it was a labor of love, but it came out really well. You know, I was telling you, I was like, after I got off the initial shock of like, wow, my music's on vinyl. I was like, man, this is pretty good, actually, too, you know? So it turned out really great. And there's a whole bunch of different people on there. We did a Dylan version of It's All Right, Ma, I'm Only Bleeding with Jay Collins, who used to play with Greg Allman for years, you know. God bless him. And Jay's playing with Little Feet these days.
Yep.
My girlfriend sings on a tune with me, Lisa Marie. The other Lisa Marie, not the Lisa Marie, but she sings on Soul of a Man, which, you know... Blind Willie Johnson used to sing with his lady, so we thought we'd do it in that fashion. Uh-huh. And I actually got my shaman to sing on that. He actually owed me some money, so I was like, why don't you just come and sing on the album? And he was like, all right. So he does like an invocation, sort of exaltation kind of a thing called Opus Space on the vinyl. So there's a whole party in there. But anyway, you know, thanks for having me today, man. It's been
man,
great
I'm
talking.
I'm always thrilled to have you in the studio, no
God
doubt
bless.
About
Thank
it.
You, man.
Folks, you can you know, check out his adventures at ReverendFreakChild.com, also buy the vinyl at FloatingRecords.com.
That's right.
Of course, TreatedAndReleasedRecords.com is another place you can keep up with him and stuff. Hey, you are all over the place, aren't you? I mean, you're pretty much touring all the time.
Yeah, I am, and I'm really taking the summers to really sort of do a wandering retreat, as they talk about it in Buddhism, you know. And I'm living and going to school in Colorado, so the summer comes around, I just do my field work, you know, after studying all this heavy-duty Buddhism and you know, philosophy, and we're doing a lot of trying to bring the obstacles onto the path of awakening, live these principles and all of our affairs. But, yeah, I've been back east, and now I'm down south, and I'll go back to Colorado for a couple weeks and do some gigs there, and then we'll go out west and talk to Mark Karam, see if we can get that blues project together, and I'll be up in Seattle and play some gigs up there. It's just beautiful. And I think next summer we're planning on going to Europe for a bit. So and then I think this winter we're gonna go to the Far East.
Woo-hoo.
So there's a place, actually Hugh was telling me about, he goes over there once a year. It's called and I'm not being disrespectful, it's literally called the Wanch with a W. That's how they spell it, man. It's for like American tourists. It's like, they have music 7 nights a week. If you're in Hong Kong, it's like a honky tonk, the Wanch.
I
was like,
love it.
I thought, Hugh, are you making fun of those people? No, it's literally called the W-R-A-N-C-H. Anyway.
Oh, that's great. Well, how about one more?
Yeah, we'll do one maybe. We'll do one for the ancestors. They're talking about my shaman. He always says, you know, we got to do one for the ancestors. I don't know what the native peoples were here around Auburn, but, you know, the spirits are around, and many mothers and fathers and grandfathers and grandmothers did a lot of work to get us here to this present moment. You know, we'll come full circle here. We were mentioning See That My Grave Is Kept Clean, the old Blind Lemon Jefferson tune. We'll do this one for the ancestors and anybody, you know, that's recently passed on. Dr. John, I'm heading down to actually New Orleans after this, and... You know, like old Pine Tom Perkins, you know, Muddy Waters' old piano player, you know, said right before he died, he says, you know, death, that's a debt we all got to pay, man. Birth, old age, sickness, and death. If you're born, you got to die. So anyway, enjoy your life while you're living. So there's one can of baby you can do for me. It is one can of baby you can do for me. Say there's one can of baby you can do for me. You see that the graves all kept clean. You got a two-eyed horse following me.
Yeah, there's two white horses following me. Said there's two white horses following me. Yeah, waiting on my buried ground. Have you ever heard that coffin sound? Now, have you ever heard that coffin sound? Have you ever heard that coffin sound? In another post, souls in the ground. And have you ever heard them church bells toll? Have you ever heard them church bells toll? Have you ever heard them church bells toll? In the middle of the post, so dead and gone. I'm beating and my hands is turning cold. Say when my heart stops a beating and my hands is turning cold. Believe my heart has stopped beating now my hands is turning cold. Now I believe what the Bible told. One kind of faith you can do for me. Now there's one kind of faith you can do for me. Say there's one kind of faith you can do for me. Just see that their graves all kept clean. Hey!
Reverend Freak Child in Wild Man Steve's Record Shop. That's right.
Thanks for having me, man.
Thanks so much for coming into the shop, man. I appreciate it. And hey, when you and Mark get that blues album put out, you come on back and we'll talk about it.
Definitely. It's coming, man. It just might take a while.
Yeah, that's okay. The door is always open
my
friend.
Well, thank folks, you. God bless.
That is it for this episode of Wild Man Steve's Record Shop. Be sure to tune in next time for the next episode. Have a great one. Check out the Rev at reverendfreakchild.org. You'll be glad you did. This has been an episode 5 of Wild Man Steve's Record Shop. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Next week, Dan Navarro, the man who wrote We Belong for Pat Benatar, graces our studio. Don't miss it.